Fresh Vegetable Cooking with Bryant Terry. Now, I first heard of Bryant maybe 20 years ago when he started a nonprofit program in New York City that taught underserved kids how to cook. And they made these delicious, healthy meals after school. They brought that food back home, and the kids became the spark that helped empower their families to take control of their health and diets. Bryant was brilliant and charismatic, and he's since gone on to become the chef in residence of the Museum of the African Diaspora. And he's the author of 4 vegan cookbooks, even though he says it's not his goal to convert anyone to veganism. He really just wants people to get down with how delicious vegetables are. Hey, Mr. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on, Francis.
I'm psyched. It's been a while. And I actually want to start there because I remember for a while it was almost like clockwork. Like every year and a half, every 2 years, there would be a new Bryant Terry cookbook. And then it's been a bit of a break. I think it's been like 6 years between your last book and this one. So
yeah,
what happened?
You know,
I was trying to set my calendar to it.
To the dismay of many of my handlers, my agent, yeah. my editor, it's been a 6-year gap. And I very intentionally took a break from writing books. As you know, writing cookbooks can be protracted, grueling, and isolating. And so I felt like I wanted to step away. And primarily, I needed to spend time with my young children. I have 2 daughters, one who is 5, another who's about to be 9. And as cliche as it may sound, you know, my parents say it often, you know, you never get those early years back. It's true. And I really wanted to be there in those earliest phases of their lives and create bonds with them. And, you know, I always say that I take a lot of pride in the fact that I pretty much took my oldest daughter to every single cello lesson that she's had since she was 3. And I made it to all her recitals. And, you know, those are the type of things that we'll both look back and just be smiling about. So I don't regret it at all.
Right on. But in the 6 years since, you know, you've been the chef at the Museum of the African Diaspora. And there's also been, I feel like vegan cookbooks have become so much more mainstream as well. There've been so many vegan cookbooks come out in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
How has your cooking style evolved over that time as well? Like, what are we seeing in this book that we weren't seeing in your other books like Afro Vegan?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say it's exciting to see that, you know, there are so many quality vegan cookbooks out there.
Sure.
And not just, you know, people who are kind of dedicated to making vegan cookbooks, but you're seeing a lot of chefs who've traditionally cooked with a lot of meat or, you know, kind of presented a more omnivorous recipes and dishes, really, you know, pivoting and thinking about creative ways of working with vegetables so that, you know, this trend of people eating more plant-based, there are options for people to have and good quality options. And, you know, this book was really in that spirit. And I think one thing that was important for me with this project is just revisiting a lot of basic techniques. You know, I went to culinary school 2 decades ago. And since then, I've been doing a lot of work around activism and education and programming. But, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time in kitchens and certainly not in professional kitchens. And I'm tapped a colleague and friend of mine, Monifa Dio, who specializes in Senegambian cuisine and has traveled all over the world working in some of the best kitchens globally. And she really just worked closely with me, helping me to get back to some of those core techniques. And I imparted a lot of those in this book because I think with vegetables, you know, you don't have to do a lot to them, especially if you're using farm fresh, local seasonal ingredients. You know, just wanted to show people that it's not like that big of a leap to make delicious vegetables, especially if you're used to making delicious meat dishes.
Yeah. What are some recipes in the book that really speak to your style of cooking now?
Well, you know, one of the book is centered around the citrus and garlic herb braised fennel. I talk about that in the intro as that being kind of like the recipe that kind of unifies all the energy in the book. And I kind of tongue-in-cheek talked about making meat, but for example, something as simple as, taking a hot cast iron skillet and pan-searing a steak is something that I'm sure a lot of meat eaters might be familiar with.
Sure.
And I use that technique in this recipe, you know, taking fennel and cutting it and then, placing the cut side down on a cast iron skillet that's been heated really hot and then searing it until you get that nice, beautiful coat. You start to bring out some of the natural sugars in it. It caramelizes.
Yeah.
So just simple techniques, pan searing, basting, thinking about how do we garnish for aesthetic beauty. As you know, you eat with your eyes before you put it in your mouth. And I think a lot of people have these misconceptions about plant-based food or vegetarian or vegan food being bland and brown. And I just really wanted to illustrate that, you know, this it can be beautiful and it can be delicious and, simple to make.
Yeah, I love lentils too, but, you know, I get it's not all lentils. It's not all lentils. No, I love the idea of searing that fennel like that because I don't do quite the same way you do. I don't have that sort of extra edge. But for me, very simply, just that smell of seared fennel, if I'm just roasting in an oven where you get that nice caramelization on that, especially on that cut edge, it has such a beautiful smell. It's like you have that like fresh anise licorice-y flavor, but it's like sweet and like almost like honey, but with enough salt and olive oil, it gets this really cool savory, almost like beautiful, like almost like a potato-y texture on the inside. It's just, oh God, it's good.
This is one of those things that I've actually been making a lot throughout the book tour. And, you know, I've been visiting restaurants. Chef Eduardo Jordan hosted an amazing dinner in Seattle at his restaurant Solare. And that was one of the dishes that his team made. And it's been really interesting seeing people who, you know, in their mind, they have an aversion to fennel. It's like, oh, I don't like fennel. It's weird. I've had it before, but, you know, I can't really get down with that anise-like flavor. And this has been one of those dishes that I think has converted a lot of former fennel haters. And so, one thing I do in here that's really fun is adding that plantain powder to balance some of the acid and, you know, tamp it down a little bit and add some umami is I take plantain chips, green plantain chips that have been fried and then grind them in a spice grinder or pound them in a mortar with a pestle. And then it makes this powder that I call plantain powder that, you know, I originally created to sprinkle on this dish. But let me tell you, my daughter's sprinkle that plantain powder on everything. And so
that's good. That sounds so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just out of a bag from like the convenience store if you need. Like you just get like the
If you need to. I mean, I'm less of a purist about using some things that are kind of pre-made, such as the plantain chips. And, you know, I used to avoid things like vegan butters and any of those kind of pre-made vegan products. But at this point, I feel like we're at a place where there's so many good quality versions of those things now. For example, Miyoko's cheese company makes this fantastic vegan butter. And so, you know, I'm certainly open to using those things when they make sense.
Right on. And, you know, this actually brings me to another question. You say that your approach to cooking is inspired by hip-hop producers, and I didn't quite know what that meant, but I'm starting to get it because I think it's about taking a little bit of this, taking a little bit of that, and sort of like remixing things. There's so much of a focus on music in the book. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, this idea of cooking as collage has been something that I've always drawn on. And I mean, if you think about Southern cuisine, in many ways, I see that as like the quintessential modern, quote unquote, fusion cuisine in that you have foods from West and Central Africa that travel to the Americas. You have food from the Caribbean. You have food that are indigenous to this country, and then you had European food and cooking techniques. And so all these things, I like to see this gumbo, which is, you know, this kind of like collage, this melange of different techniques and flavor profiles and ingredients and classic dishes throughout the globe that, you know, is pretty much the basis of what I make because the type of food that I grew up eating. And so you know, the music is so central to the book project and all my books. As you know, I've long paired recipes with different songs. And, you know, in my mind, food and music are inseparable. Growing up in a family of musicians and artists and people who saw music as a way to bring joy and, you know, connect and bond with family. Whenever we had family gatherings, people were playing the piano and people were crooning and, you know, just having fun. And so I always like to bring that element into the books because I don't want people to see, you know, the thing about like plant-based cooking, a lot of people kind of frame it as a tool for healing ourselves. You know, I've seen a number of people who have been pretty much eating a standard American diet, and then they'll pivot more towards a vegetable-centered diet when there's a health crisis. Or a lot of people see it as a way of kind of resisting, you know, whether it's colonialism or our industrialized food system, you know, really kind of embracing these traditional foods that are largely vegetable-based and many cuisines throughout the world. And I think that's all true, and I've certainly put a lot of emphasis on that. And I don't want people to lose sight of the joy and pleasure of eating. You know, that is important. And I think we need to also embrace that as something that is vitally important to our health, our well-being, our spiritual development, and all those things. Even thinking about like kind of transforming our food system. I think having joyful experiences with good food is a great way to start.
Right. Thanks so much, Brian. It's great to talk with you.
Thanks again for having me on, Francis.
Bryant Terry's latest book is Vegetable Kingdom. You can find that recipe for citrus and garlic herb braised fennel at splendidtable.org.